You know what? It is so good to be coming to you live from our nation's capital. I've been here enough times where at times you think you're going to take it for granted, and then you get on the ground and you start, you know, coming in from Reagan Airport, and the next thing you know, you're looking around, and then it starts taking your breath away. It does. You forget what has happened in this country to make this democracy work at times, and then you get reminded when you see it. We can all shake our heads at it. You can all sit there and say, government's broke down. Government isn't working. Government's too partisan. Government's this. It's that. The truth of the matter is we're still the best government in the world, and I'm in the heart of it right now in Washington, D.C. We're here to talk about a lot of things this week, agriculture being one of them. We're going to talk about, you know, what you expect. You're going to get access to the people that represent you. Senator Heitkamp's going to be on. She's going to take your phone calls. Congressman Kramer has blocked out a great length of time for us. He'll take your phone calls. Senator Hoeven is going to join us. We've got people from other states like Debbie Stabenow from Michigan. Others are going to join us. But mostly we're going to talk about our economy and how that plays into this town, into Washington, D.C. Jack Ekstrom is a friend of mine that I've been doing radio with for a long time from Whiting Petroleum, and he joins me right now. Jack, good to have you on News and Views.
Thank you, Joel. It's great to be here, as always. And I noticed that Washington has had an impact on you. No cargo shorts, no flip-flops,
what is up
tie,
with that?
Jacket, everything. I mean, you actually clean up pretty well.
You know, I'm not digging that part. I'm not going to lie to you about that. This whole tie thing, you know, back in my state senate days, I had to wear a tie every day, and it just about killed me, you know, but that's okay.
Is that what turned your hair red, all the blood flowing up to you?
I noticed my hair is getting more white than red lately. But, Jack, this town plays a role in what you do for a living, and I think it's best described by you. You're on the Hill this week. You're working it. You're going up there visiting with people. When you knock on these people that I just described's door, what's your message to them? What's the first thing you tell them?
The message to them is that there is salvation in jobs. There is salvation in building the economy. And much of that can be laid at the feet of the cornerstone of our economy, and that is energy. We have tremendous opportunities in energy of all kinds. But of course, I'm focused on oil and natural gas, as you would expect I would be. And our chapter and verse is in North Dakota. Look at the economy in North Dakota. Look at the jobs in North Dakota. Look at the opportunities in North Dakota. What falls out of oil and gas is construction and services and opportunities for physicians and for professionals and for teachers and for engineers and building infrastructure, which the country needs so desperately, but not nearly as badly as North Dakota needs infrastructure, which is a lot of what we're focused on.
Jack, recently somebody asked me how I separate the work that you and I do getting out the mechanical side of what oil and gas is doing in North Dakota from the needs of the state and the people that live in the Bakken play itself. If you live in the Williston Basin, you know, and I always point out to them this, and I hope they understand it. So I want to kind of set a tone for the next couple of days radio that we're going to do, which is you guys pay taxes. North Dakota has a lot of money in the bank, and North Dakota is the envy of a lot of states out there in the union. In fact, I've got a cab driver last night telling me all about the unemployment rate in North Dakota. He spoke very broken English to me, and yet he knew more about my state than I ever would have imagined he knows. And so I never look to you, Jack, or your competitors out there who do what you do in this Williston Basin play. I never look to you as though you're the problem for what we need to fix at the state level. To me, I look at activity at the state level, and I think we're catching up on some of that, but I think that some of that money needs to go to work on infrastructure so that your industry can thrive and yet the state can thrive at the same time.
I agree with that, Joel. It's a story that has been repeated time after time. The needs of the, and I hate to say average citizen because there's nothing average about North Dakota, the or every citizen, I should say, are always lagging when you have a bow wave of this kind, you know, where you're cutting new water and you're making a big wave. And the backwash of that is what needs to be cleaned up. And I believe that cleanup is getting closer and closer to the tail of the boat where it's happening. But the problem is that it still lags. Legislatures, by their very nature, act fairly slowly and are reflective and thoughtful about what they should do. And obviously the state has more needs because of its lagging economic activity over many decades prior to this. It has many other needs, and those have to be addressed too. You have a state of mind in the eastern half of the state that, well, we have all of this money. We support the infrastructure. We support the economy in the state. We have needs too. The problem is that they're not out there enough to see the desperation,
right,
and the difficulties and the everyday life of traffic problems, the everyday life of dust on the roads.
The
highest per square foot rent in the country right now is in Williston. We just saw that statistic last week. That's amazing.
Yeah,
when you think about that. But yes, all of that has to happen. But it's understandable that the rest of the state, the eastern half of the state, doesn't quite get it. It's like the rest of the country. They don't quite get it. How did this happen? What's going on? It's a singular activity that most people can't get their arms around and assimilate.
And later in the show, I know we're going to get to some of the mechanics of what 2014 is going to hold in construction season and development. But Jack, this is the one thing that North Dakota, I think, needs to kind of rethink itself. You say, well, legislatures by their very nature are slow in moving. We only meet every 2 years, and we were always proud of that. We are now a very industrialized state, and I'm not sure meeting every 2 years meets the needs of the industry that we're supposed to be serving as well. And so I don't know if we need to re-look at that and need to maybe have a shortened special session, in the off year. But I do know this. I do know that Highway 85 needs to be four lane.
There is no question about that one.
Yeah, I mean, that just needs to happen. So the other thing is, if you're a legislator listening, and many of them are listening to you right now, is this going away? Because that when they get in the room all by themselves and they say, there's Heitkamp pushing for more infrastructure for Western North Dakota again, but you know what? He isn't the one that's going to have egg on his face when oil drops below $20 a barrel and they all say, well, I'm pulling out. Because that happened in Williston before. So as an executive, do you think this is going away?
Wow, $20 a barrel. I shudder to think about that. It seems preposterous on its face, and that's not a pejorative on you, Joel, but the notion that some people would advance is that there's going to be a black swan event, that which means that all bets are off and that the prices could crater. We have zero indications that has any possibility of happening. We take a fairly conservative tack toward planning, and our upcoming guests will probably tell you the same thing. Publicly traded oil companies are pretty realistic in their forecast because you have to perform to that forecast. We have a scenario whereby we have a plan if oil goes below 70. We have a plan that we will act upon if it goes below 50. Nobody is planning for anything below that I have ever heard. Yeah. Perhaps they are, a doomsday kind of scenario, a nuclear war or some bizarre.
No, but the reason I bring that up was because that was the figure that everybody remembers back in
sure.
the 80s. That was
sure.
It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. It's like, okay, how do I farm if I can only sell wheat for 50 cents a bushel? Well, it's not going to happen.
That's right.
It's not going to. Jack, stick around. We're going to bring your guest in, and we're going to get a chance to visit with Jay Otteson about this, and we're going to find out what SM Energy is. And